Hi there, welcome to the Tingle Zone. My name is Andrew Miller from Business Enjoyment, and I want you to enjoy your business so much it makes your bits tingle. This is part two of our interview with Paul Stevens from Helplocks. If you've not listened to part one, I do suggest you go back and listen to that because you get a great understanding of where Paul comes from and what makes him tick. In this second part, we'll be looking at how Paul has taken everything he's learned to set up his Helplocks business. And notice how he uses some innovative and different ideas to create traction and build a community effectively, and how his ethos is based around serving those people, not just seeing what he can get out of it. And make sure you stick around to the end because Paul will be giving his reflections on what is required to have an enjoyable business and a summary of what he's learned over his career so far. So sit back, relax. Take notice to how you can apply all these things in your own business and get the most enjoyment out of what you do. But I hope you enjoy this second part.
Anyway, moving forward from there.
The whole where I end up now was a bit of a fluke. I did have an idea for a business. I was looking at ice cream at one time, but I took a job having been made redundant. I took a big pay cut and worked at Bradford City. We ran the store there for, I was only meant to go for a year. At the time, my wife was going to last year dentistry. And what dentists do in the last year, they nationally all take an exam. And you get ranked on this one exam from 1 to 1100. And based on that, you could end up working anywhere in the UK. So there was no point getting a starting the business at that point because we could be moving, and my wife begrudgingly agreed to let me take this job at the football ground where I took a big pay cut because we could just about afford it, and it's for a year. Mm. 4.5 years later, I left. but what basically happened when I got there is I found out soon after I started that one of the joint owners and associate directors between them owned a locksmith training school. And actually, they ran the school at that time from one of the boxes at the ground. And so, fresh from I've done it three times in a few years. I thought, well, you know, let's find a way of making some money that where I'm not dependent on an employer. At the time, I thought it might be a nice stepping stone to becoming self-employed. It might be something that adds a few. I never saw it as being a full-time thing. I thought it'd be a bit of a sideline, make a few quid alongside my current job. When I leave my job and go self-employed, I'm doing my ice cream thing, I'll have, you know, make a few quid, you know, doing locks on the side as well. So I did the course, qualified for about a year or so. I was just doing jobs for friends, family, neighbours, friends of friends, things like that.
Getting paid?
Yeah. But it all started off just, you know, little jobs, doing, might do a job a fortnight.
As much as anything else.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden I got a call from someone who, to this day, I can't see a link. I don't know where the referral came from. And I just thought, well, this is getting a bit silly. I either do this properly or I, you know, really make sure it just stay a sideline. And initially I was going to set up as a value locksmith, and we're going to do sort of doing like a budget locks, and sort of being in that sort of market. But everything changed. The more I learned about the industry, I really started to embrace it, and actually, security became a really, really important thing to me. So I started to move away from budget locks and start wanting just to have the best stuff. So whereas I started off, if you like, budget locksmith, I sort of rebranded and became, actually it's more security and locksmith services.
Mm. Why did security become a big thing for you?
I think once I sort of learnt more about the industry and more about burglaries and more about different standards of locks, I felt I couldn't really sleep at night if I'm selling substandard stuff for any price, whether it be cheap or high price, whatever price I was doing it for. I wanted to offer more than just I'm changing the lock. I wanted to be able to say, do you know what, I'm fitting the best lock here. I've got the best. Yeah, if you buy something from me, it might be more premium than it used to be, than where I thought it was going to be. But you would, again, I suppose, like my first job, we're offering genuine solutions now. We're not just changing your lock. Mm. We are significantly upgrading your security. We're fitting something that is potentially going to stop someone from breaking into your house. And that seemed to, yeah, that does. It means a lot to me that we're offering more than just, you give me money and I give you this. I want to be able to say, actually, we are genuinely offering, giving you real value. We work tirelessly to develop relationships with manufacturers so that we can be competitive in this arena. So, although, for example, our most premium lock, we're supplying fit for £65, and I appreciate that £65 is an investment. It's still an amount of money, but actually, if you shop around, we're for that product. We're, I don't think there's anyone in my shops doing it cheaper that I'm aware of. That is generally they normally fit for around 80 to 100. So we're looking to offer the best value, offer the best products at the best price, even though it still means you might have to sort of, you're still investing some money, but we're just trying to do the best for everybody all around. But we've spent years developing these relationships with manufacturers. We're the only independent locksmith company or security company in the country that's got a direct line, a direct account with some of the suppliers that we work with. And that's probably credit to some of the other activities that we've done to lure those in. But the crux of it is that means that we can be majorly competitive on price, offer the very best stuff, and hopefully that's what people are starting to see from the brand. And what, as you know, I've mentioned to you before, we're on the verge of opening an e-commerce store, and we can actually compete with Amazon in terms of price. There'll be products on there that Amazon don't have, because I guess some brands are twigging that to protect their brand and protect their products, maybe Amazon isn't the automatic place to put your product anymore, because it just kills, you know, your price just crashes. But the things that on there that are on Amazon, we're going to be price wise we are going to be comparable. And I don't think there's another independent locksmith or security company that can do that, because buying the products from the national distributors or trade counters like everybody else does, you pay as much for the product or virtually the same as what we can now sell it for. So it does make a huge difference, but I've had to work really hard to get to that position. But again, the motivation hasn't just been about my business, it's about, can we get the best products to people at the best possible price? And that's, yeah, it's been a big focus, but now that we've got there, it's yeah, it's another big box ticked in this part of the journey. In the self-employed journey.
So just to go back, I missed a bit. You said you got a call from nowhere and you're not sure where it came from. What was the referral? You couldn't track?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just somebody wanted I can't remember exactly what we did for the job, whether it be a change lock or repair a door. It was just a call came, you know, kind of, sort of a, can you help me? It might be I've locked out, or whatever it was. The inquiry was, I genuinely can't remember what exact job was, but I just remember at the time thinking, I have no idea who this person is, where they've come from, who the referral is. So I thought, well, if I'm going to start serving complete strangers,
right,
maybe now it's
so
time to think it's,
okay,
it's a business. So
I missed that bit, yeah. So it had just been, as you say, for friends and family, but
yeah,
suddenly
yeah,
a referral came in and you thought, oh my gosh, that's how business works.
Yeah. Well, it's
running a business.
But then it was a referral, it was almost like it was a referral from a referral. So it was, instead of it being like a referral from a friend or a family
third
member,
part.
it become third or fourth or something. And I thought, well, if this is going to start happening, I maybe need to start treating this like a business. I up to that point, it was just a sideline. I thought, even when I started my own business, the locksmithing thing would just be a little sideline. But I think another thing is, when I went to an MLA exhibition, it's the Master Locksmith Association, and I saw all the products there, that was a big eye opener. And again, where I really started to immerse myself in the security, but I suddenly realised there were huge possibilities naturally, rather than just be a locksmith that helps people when they're locked out or just want the locks changing. I realised we could really, I could build something. There was a lot of scope to do different things and really decide who I want to help. I want to help them, and there was a lot of scope for building.
So what other different things are you doing?
So we've got UPVC repairs. We're doing high security locks. We're moving to, well, we have done smart locks, and we've got a cracking smart lock on the way in the next few weeks. Through the e-commerce, we're going to be selling cameras, alarms. We've got smart doorbells, all sorts. But everything, I always have the strap line, security, safety, convenience. So what we're looking for when we're looking for a product for help lots, certainly a key product. We want something that offers security, safety, and convenience. So, say like a high security lock with a thumb turn gives you the security of being a high security lock. The thumb turn gives you a fire escape, and also I have a thumb turn on my door that I can just let the dog out. So without having to get a key out of my pocket, I can just twist the lock and let the dog out. So to me, that product offers security, safety, and convenience. And I think the way the security industry is going, I think that's where it's moving anyway. So I've kind of had that on my mind from the start, but as I'm looking at products like, you know, your smart doorbells, smart locks, it's all starting to gear up towards those three things seem to be at the mind of the industry. So
what's a smart doorbell?
Smart doorbell, so where you've seen like Ring on TV, so if somebody comes to your door, it records them. So through my phone, I can see who's been on my premises. And then if they ring the doorbell, I can talk to them from anywhere. So I could be in Blackpool Tower, and I can tell someone delivering a parcel to where to leave it for me, or to pop next door. So you can have a two-way conversation through the doorbell. But it also captures images, so almost in a CCTV fashion. If somebody walks up my path, it will automatically record people who have been on my property. So there is a security element to it. So of course you've got the convenience element of if I'm laying in the garden and someone comes to my door, I can talk to them through the phone if it's wanting to go away, or I can at least see who's come to my door and decide if it's worth leaving the garden to go let them in or go answer the door. So there's certainly security and convenience built into a smart doorbell. But there's a few on the market. We do we've got the Era doorbell at the moment. We think Ring might be on the way. Ring are probably the best known brand for that sort of stuff. But it could be by the back end of this year. I'm hoping we'll have Ring on board as well. So that's an exclusive for you. but there's a few on the market. I know Nest do one as well. So they're becoming all the rage. So yeah, we're sort of embracing everything that's new. Smart home alarm as well, home alarm that you can check from your mobile phone. It alerts you anywhere in the world if your alarm's been triggered. You can turn it on and off from your mobile phone. So all these things are coming in. So it's security, still security, but there's definitely a convenience element coming in. So we're really embracing that. And so aside from the trusty mechanical that's always been, and doing the high security mechanical, we are embracing the smart element as well, and moving forward.
I understand you've got some interesting Facebook groups running as well.
Yeah, we started last year. We've got it's more the community extension of Helplots, really. So we've got Leeds, Wakefield, and Bradford Crime Watch groups, and they've done really well for us. The idea is people join and they can post if there's anything going off in their area, if there's any suspicious activity or they think suspicious, or if they've been burgled. You get a lot of people who will say, you know, I was burgled last night, if you've any CCTV. So people will appeal for help on there from the local community, or some people just post that they've been burgled just to warn people, which I think is bittersweet, really. You don't want them to be burgled, but for their reaction to be quite selfless, to say, you know, this is where we live, it's going off in this area, we got burgled, please make sure your doors are locked, I think is great that people are inputting that way.
It's like a neighbourhood watch.
Yeah, it's very much like that. Yeah. And I also kind of figured, because this was already going on Facebook, but what I'd seen elsewhere is people would put things and then it doesn't really go anywhere. They're either talking to people who are not interested, or some of the advice that they might be given would be pretty naff, you know, or products people would be directing them to would be substandard. And I just thought, well, if people are posting it and they're looking for this information, maybe if I can get them all into one place and that we can offer the right information, what they choose to do with it, it's up to them. But if we can show them the genuine solutions to these problems, and then, you know, it's they can do with that what they will. And it's done really well. With between the three groups, we currently have 21,000 members, so it's taken a year and 3 months to go from naught to 21,000. They're growing roughly around 50 a day, about around 50 people a day are joining the groups. And yeah, it seems to be that we've done something that's, one, worthwhile, and two, people seem to actually like what we've done. They're involved, and it's, you know, it won't be for absolutely everybody, but you know, 21,000 is not a bad number so far. Well,
what benefits have you seen them getting from being part of the group?
We've definitely seen people who, whether they've bought the product from me or they've gone elsewhere, they've definitely taken advice and have gone and secured their properties with proper stuff. Yeah, and because I think this industry is full of people who are selling substandard things as solutions, and wrong, in my opinion, they're wrongly selling substandard products and saying that and calling them a solution. So I think people have definitely been educated through them, and if they have spent money, they've invested it in proper stuff. And we have had people get property back, and there's one guy in particular. There was a gentleman in our Bradford group who he had two cars. It was really funny because he had a black Audi, which is pretty generic. Lots of those on the road. And he had this other, I think it was like a sporty type BMW, but it was in a sort of a gold, like a metallic gold colour, which apparently there were only 10 in the world made. It was a real unique thing. And someone came and took that one. And he said to me at the time, you know, if they'd have took the Audi, I'd have got my money. You know, they'd just rung insurance and got another one. I said, but that was my baby. You know, they took my baby. But it turned out 15 minutes after posting it onto my Bradford group, the car was located, probably helped by the fact it was such a unique colour. But 15 minutes after posting, he called me up to thank me. He said, I posted it, and 15 minutes later, so a lady called him up and said, I've seen your post, and your car's at the end of my street. I think forensics sort of took the car, and he had it back when they were done with it. Wow. But the crux of it was found, and yeah, he knew he was going to get his car back after.
As you say, you didn't colour that speeded things up, but if you're posting, you know, other people, you know, the registration number or whatever it is, it's still going to be unique identifier at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Hard to spot, but people looking out for it and helping each other at the end of the day.
Definitely, and we've definitely had other people. We've definitely had people get the stuff back. This is not the only one. We've had other people get stuff, and there was another lad we helped out who he'd had his bike nicked, and he. This was in the Leeds group, and he put quite a heartwarming post. Actually, he worked at Morrison's in Morley, and he put this post sort of saying, "Thanks very much. While I was at work, I had my bike nicked. Blah blah blah." And he said, "Now I have to walk." He had quite a walk. I can't remember how many miles, but it was a fair walk. He said, "I'm gonna have to walk every day to and from work until I can afford to buy a new bike." And a lady said, "Have a bike for you," and she donated a bike. And I couldn't help it. I jumped on it, and I thought, well, if she's donating the bike, so now he's got his bike. I gave him something to lock it up with. I gave him a high security number. So I went to his place of work, and because he told us where that was, so I just turned up, asked the manager if I could see this member of staff, and presented him with a seriously high security padlock and chain. So there you are. Let him nick that now. I think that was a nice little story. So there's me and someone in the community chipped in to sort of help this guy out. Obviously, we can't, for the record, we can't give a public chain to everybody who has a bike nicked. We'll be gone in no time. But that particular story, I just felt so heartwarming that someone within, I like to think of it as the Helplots community when they're in those groups. So to see somebody within the Helplots community helping somebody else in that way, I thought I can't not acknowledge that and do nothing. I'm gonna have, you know, I've got to sort of see this kid right, you know. And
do you see the sort of the community you're building and the security that you're creating for the people in this area and that sort of thing? Do you sort of see again, a callback to, or a reverse callback to when you were younger, and that sort of the dangerous area you lived, the rough area you lived, and all that, and creating what you want it to be rather than what it was type.
Maybe I've never thought of it quite that way, but I suppose everything. I think it's fair to say, even through this discussion, that everything. Everything's a consequence, doesn't it? Everything, when you look back, everything in my past seems to have moulded where I've headed, even if it has been through rebellion. and rebellion's normally seen as a negative thing, isn't it? Rebellion is like a, you know, overthrow the elite and you rebel, but it's but I suppose I have just spent my life rebelling, but somehow rebelling in a nice way. It's a bizarre thing, isn't it? It's trying to find the good and rebelling by throwing as much good out there as I can. I don't know. I've never thought of it. I've never actually thought that that's why I do it. But yeah, it must be something, because as I said before, genuinely, it was my conscience that kicked in that moulded the idea of we're gonna do the top products. And I guess again, because I've come from a modest background, there was a real need to do everything I could to get those products at the best price, and maybe that is part of it, because we can make the best security accessible to as many people as possible. And admittedly, I said just the lock at £65, that still won't be for absolutely everybody. It will still price some people out of it, and I accept that, but at least at 65 we've got it to as many people as we can, we've touched as many people as we can in that way. And so yeah, maybe there's something there in that part of my mind that I've not really thought about consciously that's driven me to do that. Yeah, it's quite possible. I can see the sense in that. For some reason, I always somehow like to see things in 5-year increments somehow. And yeah, you break it all down as you go along, but I always like to look back. I think ever since leaving school, I've always looked back, where was I 5 years ago? And if I'm anywhere near in the same place as I was 5 years ago, that would really agitate me. I'd like to see progress, I like to see growth. And that's whether it be my business or at home, I just like to see progression. And I think that keeps me going, and I'm hungry to progress. The business itself, I've kicked it off with a 15-year business plan, which was then in 5-year increments, funnily enough. And it is liking it to build a house. The first 5 years, which we've got 1 year left, is really building the foundations. That's where we've done the, you know, the working with brands and establishing relationships, all the things that we didn't have from day one. The next five will be the building up, and the expansion and the growth. And then the 5 years after that will be really the almost a decorating the house. It'll be sort of, there'll probably have to be a rebrand by then slightly, and we'll sort of dress it up and make it pretty. And that's kind of the sort of the 5-year period. So there will be a switch in focus in the business come next year, where we go from foundation building to start expansion. But at home, it's you know, it can't all be about business. You've got to have your home life as well. So when I look back 5 years ago, yeah, huge amount of change. You know, my wife was just I think five, I can't remember now, time flies, whether she was in last year at uni or she was doing they do like a VT year of training. She was doing one or the other 5 years ago. We were renting a house that, even if we're still renting, it wouldn't be in that house. It was a house that we put up with. It was a base and it was a place to be, but it was a function, not a home, if that makes sense. You know,
said you need a roof over the head, but that's it.
Yeah, that's all it offered. It offered, I mean, say that's all, it's it offered the essentials, but yeah, I never went to that house and thought I'm home. And that's not because we're renting, it was because it wasn't a homely home. It just didn't feel homely to me. There's nothing we could do to it to make it feel like a sanctuary. It was a roof and a bedroom and a living room and a TV and a kitchen. And you know, I was in a job that, yes, I liked because it was a football, you know, football ground. I love my football. So, but I knew I wasn't happy. I knew I was itching to be self-employed, and I put that on hold while my wife went through university. We knew that she was going to finish university, she was going to do be a dentist, then we're going to buy a house, then I was going to go self-employed. So I was always chomping at the bit and waiting for that little window where I was going to make the leap, but it just wouldn't have been appropriate to do it sooner. So I was sort of sitting on my big ideas and my big ambitions, working a job that I didn't want to do. As much as I liked it, I liked the environment, I knew I didn't really want to be there and doing working for the people anymore. I was just done with it. And in truth, without wanting to sound arrogant, I think by the time I got to my late 20s, I think there wasn't a lot more to learn. In me, I'd done so much, I could look and genuinely say I'm not learning anything anymore. I either needed to move up, or, you know, obviously now I've gone self-employed, you start learning 100 mile an hour again. It's great, and I'm getting all that nourishment of knowledge. Whereas the last few years in retail, it was fun because it was football. I think if I worked in any other shop in the land, I think it would have been the death of me, because it just stopped. I just wasn't learning anymore. I think I'd seen all I needed to see in that environment, certainly at store manager level. Even if I'd have done things outside of the realms of store manager, like doing the buying and being involved in other stuff, I'd been there, done it, and I was absolutely ready. So yeah, by the time we moved, we got out of that house, and we sort of bought the house, and my wife got all set up with her job. Yeah, it had to happen. It just had to happen, because I think looking back, I started to actually get quite down in my job. I knew I really didn't want to. I just didn't want to do it anymore. Mm. I knew I had to do my own thing, but I think overnight I was a different person. The relief at getting, rather than being overwhelmed because you're now having to learn new skills and work differently because you're self-employed, it's been an absolute joy for me. I think I've adjusted to it really quickly, because I love being just slightly out of the comfort zone, just enough that you're learning, not overwhelmed, but it's right. Mm. I need to learn this and to achieve that. And you know, the counterpoint in the shop, I couldn't do that anymore. But self-employed, I'm on this constant learning on the job, and I love that, absolutely love it. So hopefully that won't go stale until I'm ready to hang up my toolbox.
what would you do then?
I think. Do
you ever see a point where that you'd?
Yeah.
Always gonna want
to, yeah, I've. I think when I started the business, I'm very, very open to the idea that one of two things is going to happen. It's either going to be sold, or it's going to run to the point that I'm not really involved in it. Because I think what I'd like to do, and I've got this number in my head, which maybe I don't want to say, I don't want someone fishing for my business because I'm getting to a certain age that I've said that this is when I want to go and get it cheap. No, but I came with a 15-year business plan, and I think at the end of it, I want to be in a position where it's running without me, or I've sold it. And once I've done that, I really would like to be in a position to pick and choose projects. I couldn't imagine myself stopping completely, but I think it'd be nice then to give back. If I've got myself in a situation where I'm set up, it'd be great to sort of help other young entrepreneurs and maybe pass on a bit of what I've learned in sort of 15 years of being self-employed, plus the, you know, 17 years in retail.
And the other people don't fit in the boxes that don't comply with the school.
And do you know something? They are the people I'd look out for. I already do. Sometimes I see it. Sometimes I'll see some. You know, you see a kid and you can tell. Sometimes I can. You spot it. There's not an overwhelming amount of them, but you do see it. I definitely see. Sometimes I'll speak to a young person, I think they're really doubting themselves because perhaps they didn't get on in school, but actually you can tell they've got more going on. You can see there's something about them. It's how do you approach that? How do you tell someone school's not the be-all and end-all when actually I think everyone should try and do well at school, but by the same token, if you don't do well, you shouldn't then pigeonhole yourself as being a, okay, well, I'm destined to fail, or because I couldn't get any GCSEs, I'll be on minimum wage for the rest of my life, or signing on. I think I think there's got to be a certain point where we educate those who maybe didn't work in the formal education and say, okay, well, that didn't work, but that might not be because you're thick. You know, there might be something else for you out there. So I'm a massive advocate for sort of apprenticeships. I think are a great thing, because the sort of turning point for me was getting my first job. Mm. That's when I realised where I fit better, and I knew school wasn't for me then. Mm. I was far better in a working environment, far more comfortable.
And I think, you know, the as you said, the what was lucky is that you got a role where you're doing sales and things and that kind of thing, customer fronting, which a lot of people go take an apprentice trade and they just do the job.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't learn that extra skill of working with customers and find and exploring their needs and wants and that kind of stuff, all the stuff that you were talking about earlier on. And people need a broader experience to be able to, if they are going to run their own business, they need to have done a little bit of buying and selling and accounts even and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Because it gives them a much more rounded thing rather than just, you know, I'm a carpenter and I do carpentry or whatever it might be. Because you could, if you've gone straight into locks.
Yeah, yeah.
At that point when you were 18 or whatever, it could have been a different.
Yeah, I've no doubt it would be different.
Would have got bored very quickly.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because I think that's one of the things that does get acknowledged in the industry. When I speak to the brands that I work with, they a lot of them have passed comment that they work with me because I'm not just a locksmith. In fact, two of them have outright said, "You're not a locksmith. You're a businessman who happens to sell locks."
Yes,
and that's the perception that I think the brands I work with have of me, which I can't really argue with that. And it's not to slate anyone else's business, but I can see how I definitely work differently to the other locksmiths because of.
And you said it earlier, you're not a locksmith because you're a provider of security.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
actually
what you're doing. You as you say, you get to a business where you'll step away, so you're not doing the locks yourself.
Yeah.
But you're still providing security to the communities and making them feel safer and making changes out in the world, sort of thing. And that you can keep on doing without doing the thing.
And it's great, and I'm it's the best thing I've ever done. I'm so glad that I've taken this leap because it definitely needed to happen for my own sanity. It needed to happen, and I think if I'd never done it. I'd have always regretted it. And I think the other big key thing that I mentioned to you before was the philosophy I had towards building a business, where I actually sat and went against, again, rule breaking. I had all the advice from everybody else about what the business should be and how it should be 24/7, or you know, or how you should get involved in warrant work because that's really good money, and I had all this advice, and I actually turned down a warrant contract right at the start when actually I really could have used the money because I knew it's not what I wanted to do. Assisting in evicting people or breaking into business premises so that, you know, the gas man can go in and do something it just didn't sit comfortably with me. Again, it was more I'm here to secure people and I
break their door down,
I mean, if you were wanting to secure your property but you saw me the day before across the road assisting and evicting somebody, it just doesn't quite work, does it? So I right from the very start, I made a very clear idea that I would rather fail trying to build a business that I did want than succeed in building something that I didn't want. Because if I'm going to succeed in building something I don't want to work in, I might as well just stay. I might as well go work at the entertainer again. go work for that guy.
Which
is never going to happen. So it's an easy decision. So, but I kind of, that was my philosophy from the start. But I think as time's gone by and I've seen some of the tricks I've pulled off, just through being determined to make this work, I think if you have got a very clear philosophy and a vision of where you want to be, I just think you find a way. And I've definitely done a number of things that other businesses in the same sector haven't done, that I got laughed at to begin with until you pull it off. We've got the first in the UK to do a home security branded app, which I had literally had a guy from Derby. I don't know how he got my number, but a locksmith in Derby called me up and laughed at me down the phone. So you're going to go bust, you're this, you're stupid, you'll never work, no one's going to want your app. Well, we're 1,400 downloads now. He said I'd never get 200, so you know we're 1,400, and we're currently getting about 18 months at the moment. So it's the downloads have accelerated massively from year one. Granted, we had 63 at the end of year one, but we're now getting 80 odd a month every month. So that appears now to be working. We were the first to go down the line of getting training to become or work to become dementia friendly. Which now seems to be, there's one of the two tradesmen out there who followed suit, but whether they did it because of me or they've just found out a bit later, but we were the first to do that. There's a few first, the Facebook groups we touched on, there's just loads of stuff that we've done differently. So it's very much, and again, I think that catches there, and then we've got an event that we're now doing annually at the White Rose Centre. Which is the Help Blocks Home Security event. So this year it's on the 28th of September, it's a Saturday. We turn up, I'll be there at the White Rose Centre along with all the major brands that we work with, and we'll be demonstrating and advising on home security, demonstrating all the products that each of these brands offer through Help Blocks. So we did it last year, you'll see it on our Facebook page if you go to the Help Blocks page on Facebook. Pinned at the top we've got a 2 minute, it might even be only 1 minute highlight video from last year's event, which will give you an idea of the size of this event. But we literally take all the ground floor just below the food court in the White Rose, so it's a real premium space. It's cracking location. Of course, you've got the free parking if you're visiting, and food right above us. So there's no reason not to come. Free parking, get something to eat, come and have a look at some of the latest products and best products on the market, and on your way. But we're the first in UK to come up with an event like that that we put in front of the Joe public. Because these brands are very good at going to exhibitions and showing stuff off to
going
people
to
like me.
Yeah.
But to actually put them in front of the consumer was even different for them. So to get four brands working together, I mean, that was a chore actually. The politics, you know, last year we had Yale and ERA, who are head-on rivals. ERA also have some crossover with Brissant, so to not just get them all to turn up and actually share a program was just crazy, because they weren't too keen on sharing the program at one point. Oh, we don't want to put our stuff in the same, you know, next to their stuff in the program. It's just, oh, come on guys, grow up, you know. But we actually they'll if any of them hear this, I'll be in trouble, but I actually got to a point with the program where all four of them had said to me, don't really want to be in a program with everybody else, but if they're all doing it, then we'll do it. And so once I got to that point, I just called them up one by one and said, look, the other three are doing it. So they're all right, okay, we're in. You know, and I just called all four of them up in 10 minutes and just said, yeah, the other three have said they're doing it. And that was it. Signed them all up to the program. So, but it was good. And say, yeah, White Rose, we're thrilled with it last year. So delighted we can go back, and it now looks all set to be an annual event that we'll do just before the clocks go back. So yeah, lots of firsts, lots of things we've done, but it's all about finding a way. I think everything links to getting to where you want to be, because it's like having the following on Facebook and having that event really helped entice the brands to come and work with us. And once we did one event, it's amazing how many people, brands called me up, oh yeah, we'd like to work with you. So it's just, you just find a way of getting away with it.
And you know, all the way through your story, there seems to be a belief in yourself that you don't actually, you know, it's not about the process. We don't need to follow the process. But even going back to that point where I remember you saying that, going back to your dad and the console and the money, so I think I'll make that money back. It might not work the way I wanted to do, but I'll make it work, or we'll find a way, or whatever. There's always that, seems to be that inherent belief in yourself, because you've got used to not trusting the system.
I think you're probably right. I've never thought about the because not trusting the system bit, but you're probably right, and I do back myself. I think unfortunately, because I ran stores in retail for 17 years before going self-employed, and I say the jobs where I spent a lot of time in employment were the ones where I had autonomy. So I had lots of time to almost prove to myself that my ideas work, if that makes sense. And I've had time to see that if I have 10 ideas, 9 will work. The 10th, I'll adjust and make it work. It kind of feels like that. So like the app, when I first launched it, as I mentioned, 63 downloads in the first year. Bearing in mind, some of those were friends and family. That was an appalling result after 1 year. But rather than say,
doesn't work,
that don't work and give up, I started to tweak it. We added the, you know, we added the crime map in there. That got a good response. We've now added a key cutting function so people can cut keys through the app. That got a response. And then, of course, now that people are joining sort of like the Facebook group, so people are actually actively interested in knowing about where burglars are taking place and now learning about the app within that environment, I think that's where the big influx has come. So, yeah, it's we've made it work. So it's like I said before, it's finding a way. It's not giving up after a year saying, well, 63, if half of them are friends and family, it's a bad job. Actually, it's just more, okay, it's not worked. What can I do to this to make it work? So it's just finding a way. And some things you do and it works straight away and you go, yeah, knew that'd work. Of course it was going to work. Never had any doubt. So yeah, so I guess I have this inbuilt, I will not accept failure. I look at it as you either win or you learn. You only fail when you give up. That's the way I see it.
Just to wrap it up, what would you say the secret of enjoying business is? What makes your bits tingle?
Secret of enjoying business for me is, I think what I alluded to before, I think the most important thing is make sure you are building a business that you want to work in. I think if you do that, every day is a joy for me. I'm selling the products I want to sell. I'm serving the people I want to serve because they naturally come for those products. I'm not doing the work that I don't want to do. We're not 24/7. We work sensible hours. We're not doing warrant work, doing the things that I don't think any locksmith enjoys. They do it for the money, which is fine. I appreciate you pay the bills, but I've deliberately done and built this business to be what I want it to be and be a business I want to work in. And if whether you're in your own business or in employment, if you're working in an environment you actually want to work in, like you truly want to work in there, then you're going to be happy. And I think the good thing is, I think it also increases your motivation, because if you're happy, I think you find a 10% in yourself that you don't find. It's not a conscious decision, is it? If you're genuinely enjoying what you're doing, you'll get an extra 10% without even trying out of yourself. And that, I think that again just carries on, it builds it. I think customers pick up on the fact that you are truly trying your best for them because you're just naturally doing that because you're enjoying what you do. So that's the thing, the big secret for me, simple, just build a business that you want to work in, and if it's not working straight away, find a way.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Paul. It's been an absolute pleasure, and some fascinating stuff in there. So, if anybody wants to come and look at your stuff, you mentioned go to the Facebook page, Helplocks. Is there anything else?
So the website is helplocks.com. The Facebook page, just type in Helplocks on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. We're all over social media, Instagram, and the crime groups. Again, if you head to either the Leeds, Bradford, Wakefield Crime Watch. And just make sure the there's our logo up top. I think there's one of those has got someone else with a similar, if not same name. So just check for a logo, or you can access it to the Facebook page anyway if you want to be sure. Ours is the one with the big numbers. We've got more followers than the other ones. So if you look at two, go for one of the most numbers. You come to me then.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Look, we'll see you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
These podcasts are not necessarily here to give you all the answers. I want you to think about what's been said, what's come up, and how you might apply that to your own situation. And if you've enjoyed it, then please subscribe to the podcast and, of course, share it on the social media platforms, and so more people get a chance to hear what's going on. Thanks very much for listening. My name's Andrew Miller from Business Enjoyment, and I want you to enjoy your business so much it makes your bits tingle.